This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Our scripture reading today is found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through verse 39. Look what it says. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now let me say something, folks. When some preacher or teacher tries to predict a certain date, you need to run from that person. You need to run from that person. You say, well, I'm buying their books. Well, they're getting rich off your silliness. No. Look here. If the angels in heaven don't know the day, and if God hasn't revealed the date to Jesus, what makes you think he's going to tell one of us? Now, that's just what God's word says, by the way, folks. That's all we're going to stick with, God's word. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Get that. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, unto the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the floods came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's pray. God, I bow my head and my heart in your presence. And Lord, I've been doing this long enough to know, unless you come and speak through us, unless you anoint us, unless you touch our mind, what we are saying will really not be that effective. But God, should you choose to place your good hand upon us, transformation can take place. So God, would you just have your will and way above everything else? I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl that's watching online, that's in one of our campuses, who does not know you as personal Savior. I pray, God, that they would come to know you. I really do, God. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing. I want to thank you for what you're doing at the Branch. I want to thank you for what you're doing at Impact Christian Ministries. I want to thank you. I heard reports even last week, our Macon campus, over 700 people in attendance. God, I rejoice in all you're doing. And I pray now, Lord, that you hide us in the cross of Calvary, that people might see Jesus. And God, for all you do, we praise you, and I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about Noah and the end times. Noah and the end times. Now listen very closely, because I'm going to hit these fast. There are four things in the Word of God that God tells us to not be ignorant of. First of all, God tells us, don't you be ignorant of God's heart for Israel. Romans 11 verse 25 teaches us to not be ignorant of God's heart for Israel. I want you to understand, Jesus' parents were Jewish. We have the Bible because of the Jews. The Jews are God's chosen people. They always have been God's chosen people. They always will be God's chosen people. And God has a deep heart for Israel. And he said, whatever you do, don't you be ignorant of my heart for Israel. He said, there's a second thing that I don't want you to be ignorant of. He said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 concerning spiritual gifts. I want you to know that every person, every child of God is a gifted child. God's not saved you to sit. God saved you to serve. Amen? And God has gifted you in a unique way. And he said, don't you be ignorant. You find out what your spiritual gift is, and you serve within the embodiment of that gift. He said there's a third thing I don't want you to be ignorant of. He said in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning Satan's strategies. Don't you be ignorant, according to 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. We have an enemy. Our enemy's the devil. And God said, don't you be ignorant of his devices, of his strategies, of the little ways he'll come against God's people. Then there's a fourth thing. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he said, don't you be ignorant concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. He said, don't you be ignorant. Ignorant only means unlearned. Don't you be ignorant concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody, the great preacher from days gone by, said the devil does not want the church to see the truth concerning the coming of Christ, because nothing would wake the church up so much if they knew the truth concerning the coming of Christ. Because nothing would wake the church up. The enemy does not want us to see the truth. Now in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, it says, and Jesus went out, and he departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus walked out there on the Temple Mount. It's 35 acres, and there on the Temple Mount was Herod's temple. It literally took them 43 years to construct Herod's temple. And Jesus was there on the Temple Mount, and the disciples were standing in awe looking at the temple. Then we get to verse 2. Verse 2 says, and Jesus said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Here's what Jesus said. He said the massiveness of the temple and the fact that you're in awe of the temple. But I want you to understand, it's all going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be destroyed. And 37 years later, ladies and gentlemen, a Roman general by the name of Titus, he built scaffolding around the temple and lit fires. And the heat was so intense that it melted the gold in the stones. And they removed the stones one from another to retrieve that goat, that gold that was in the temple walls. If you go to the Temple Mount now, the only part of the temple that still exists is the western wall. It's called the Wailing Wall. The reason why it's called the Wailing Wall and the Jewish people will go there and pray is because they're wailing. They're sad because of the destruction of the temple by the Romans in 70 AD. But the Bible says that Jesus did something. From the Temple Mount, he went to the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says in Matthew 24, 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And what shall be the end of the world? Jesus on the Mount of Olives, literally the highest point in Israel, looked over from the Mount of Olives, and they started asking Jesus some questions. They said, when is this going to happen? And Jesus, what's the sign of your coming? And Jesus, when are we going to experience the end of the world? And we're going to take some time this month, and we're going to be looking at a lot of signs. But Jesus said, there's one sign I want you to look at. It's found in verse 37. They wanted to know about when it's all going to come to an end. And Jesus said these words, but as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What was he saying? A paraphrase. You look at Noah's day. You research Noah's day. You study Noah's day. Because how it was in Noah's day is how it's going to be right before I come back to get my church. I want to say four or five things that are so important concerning Noah's day. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, the ark symbolizes the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark symbolizes the Lord Jesus Christ. A neat experience I had was going to Williamstown, Kentucky. I went to Williamstown, Kentucky, and I saw the ark. And what amazed me, folks, is not so much what was on the inside. What amazed me was the outside of the ark in Williamstown, Kentucky. Because it was built to scale, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. I say it was built to scale. The ark represents Jesus Christ. Look what 1 Peter 3 says. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls were saved. Eight souls were saved. All I want to say, folks, they were in the ark for better than a year. Eight souls were saved. I have no doubt that they fell around in the ark. The water, the experience, they fell in the ark. But I thank God they didn't nobody fall out of the ark. Amen? I thank God nobody fell out of the ark. Now he said something. Verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something, folks. The ark represents Jesus Christ. That ark that was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, there was only one window in the ark. Only one window. And the Bible tells us there was only one. It's in Genesis chapter 6, verse 16. God said, you just put one window in the ark. And you put that window, ladies and gentlemen, in the roof of the ark. Just one window, and you put that window in the roof of the ark. Here's what you don't need to understand, folks. If we look ahead, we'll become dismayed. If we look back, we'll become discouraged. If we look beside us, we'll become disappointed. But if we look up, we'll become delivered. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I love, and I've got to move, but I love what Genesis chapter 7 verse 1 says. I'm so glad when we get to Genesis chapter 7 verse 1, God didn't say to Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives, he didn't say go into the ark. I'm so grateful in Genesis 7 and 1, he said come into the ark. Amen. What do you mean? Because he was in the ark. Amen. The ark represents Jesus Christ. So make sure you're in the ark. Make sure you're in Jesus Christ. There's a second thing I want you to see, and I've got to move. I've got so much material. I want you to see the immorality of Noah's day. Now look, I'm going to say what I mean.
Come on.
I'm going to mean what I say, but I'm not going to say it mean. See, I say to preachers, say what you mean what you say, but you don't have to say it mean. We okay? We okay? We don't have to say it. Now here's what I want you to see, folks. Genesis 6, verse 2 says this. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. You said, Pastor Benny, explain. Well, let me say something to you. Every angel mentioned in the Word of God was always a male angel. I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm not. But every angel mentioned, you said, Pastor, are you saying they're not female angels? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying every angel mentioned by name was a male angel. That's all I'm saying. And the Bible says the angels of God came down and had relations with the sons of men. You said, Pastor, you're talking about the angels had relations with the sons of men. And that's why we have giants in the land. Giants came after this. When the angels of God came down and had physical relations with the sons of men, I mean, the daughters of men. You say, well, Pastor, when I hear that, that is perversion. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The immorality in our land today. Sex trafficking. The number one country for sex trafficking is America. 200,000 incidents every year in America. The second highest city for sex trafficking is Atlanta, Georgia. The average age of a young girl is 14 years old. The entry age for a young girl into sex trafficking is 12 years old. Stats tell us that 300 men a day in Atlanta, Georgia will have relations with 12-year-old girls. I'm just giving you, hey folks, Ben Franklin said facts are stubborn things. Facts are stubborn things. Our Congress and Senate in November of 2022 passed the Respect for Marriage Act. And December the 13th, 2022, it was signed into law. It's recognized now in all 50 states. That says that a man can marry a man. And that says a woman can marry a woman. And you say, Pastor Benny, but you don't understand. I have family members. You don't understand. You come up real close and look into this face. I have family members too.
Come on.
I have family members too. But you tell me what we do with Genesis 2 and 24. This says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I want to say what I mean what I say. I don't want to say it mean, but I want to say, if you're going to redefine marriage and you're going to let a man marry a man, what if a man says he wants to marry another man? What if a man wants to have two men? What if a woman wants to have three women? What if a woman wants to have a man and a woman? If you redefine marriage, when does the redefining ever stop? If a person decides they want to marry an animal, when does it ever stop? God help us, ladies and gentlemen. God help us. Just to show you I'm fair and balanced, 57% of the men in America, 57% of the men in America watched pornography last month. The average age of a young person first viewing pornography is 11 years of age. 69% of marriages break up because of an affair. 74% of men in America said they would have an affair if they knew they wouldn't get caught. 68% of the women in America said, I would have an affair if I knew I wouldn't get caught. The Equality Act, the House of Representatives have passed, the Senate is not. You say, well, Pastor, we need the Equality Act. What does that mean? The Equality Act means this, that men have access to women's restroom and women have access to men's restroom. It means that children choose their gender identity and they can undergo surgery without parental consent. 10 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, there was two hospitals in America. 10 years ago, there was two hospitals in America that did sex change procedures. Today, there are 50 hospitals in America that do sex change procedures. The Equality Act allows transgenders to participate in women's sports. You say, Pastor, it's not happening. I read this week that the major airlines in America, JetBlue, Delta, British Airways, are saying now in our uniforms, we need to be gender neutral. That is to say, if a man wants to wear a dress, let the man wear a dress. Because we want to be so inclusive and we want to include everybody. All I'm going to say, some of you got upset at me, but all I want to say, I've told you the Bible, all I want to say is, but as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And there was sexual perversion, and ladies and gentlemen, there's sexual perversion all around us. Let me tell you the third commonality is the population increase. The population increase. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, look what Genesis 6:1 says. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply. Get that. Not men began to add. Men began to multiply. Noah was 600 years of age when the flood came. He lived to be 950 years of age. It was believed that the lifespan during that time was 400 years. So the population was literally multiplying. Now understand something. When Christ was here, there was 200 million people on the earth. 200 million people. But by 200 million people on the earth. But by 1200 AD, the population had doubled. So in 1200 years from Christ, the population doubled. From 1972 to 2022, 50 years, we went from 3.8 billion people to 7.9 billion people. You said, Pastor, what happened? A population explosion. When men began to multiply. In 1915, the lifespan expectancy was 54. The lifespan expectancy for men today is 76, and for women, it's 79. The population increase. When men began to multiply, it's happening just like God said it was going to happen. There's a fourth commonality I want you to see. It's the knowledge explosion. It's the knowledge explosion. In Genesis 4:17, think about this. It said, they builded a city. Wow. They builded a city. In Genesis 4:20, it says, they started breeding animals. In Genesis 4:21, they started creating musical instruments. In Genesis 4:22, metalwork, fabrication work was instituted. Get real, this man Noah, a boat, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. There had to be an explosion of knowledge to do these things. What is a sign of the end time, Pastor Benny? Well, Daniel 12:4 tells us. Daniel 12:4 says, at the time of the end, men shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Just as there was an knowledge explosion in Noah's day, at the end, knowledge shall be increased. In the year 1900, knowledge doubled every 100 years. Now knowledge doubles every 12 months. IBM recently stated that it will be because of the internet, knowledge will soon be doubling every 12 hours. At the time of the end, there'll be a knowledge explosion. Certainly it's happening all around us. There's a fifth thing I want you to see. The fifth thing I want you to see is this. People were living only for the now. People were living only for the now. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 38 and 39, it says in the days of Noah, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, they were eating, they were just having a good time. What were they doing? They were just living for the now. Understand something, folks. Noah preached 120 years, and only 8 people got on the ark. 120 years of preaching. Nobody took him serious. A man stands in the pulpit and says, Jesus is coming soon. And nobody takes him serious. They're living for the now. They're living for the next event. Eating, drinking, the Bible says, marrying, giving in marriage. The average American couple will spend $10,000 a year eating out. The average American family spends $10,000 a year eating out, eating, giving in marriage, just living a normal life. I want you to see something. Folks, we better look into this Bible. Amen. We better get into this Bible and we better see what God's Word says. And we better line up with it. And we better stop some of the silliness in our lives and we better get back to what's really important, and that's God and the things of God, and you're here for the purposes of God. Genesis 5:21, get this. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. What does Methuselah mean? This is what it means. When he dies, judgment comes. The word Methuselah means when he dies, judgment comes. Now look at Genesis 5:25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. 187 years and begat Lamech. Look at verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son and called his name Noah. 187, 182, 369. Look at verse 27. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now we go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. And in the 600 year of Noah's life, in the second month, 369, 600, 969. In the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Methuselah drew his last breath, and God sent the flood, just like he said he would. Ladies and gentlemen, the flood's coming. Jesus is coming. Where are we, Pastor? Oh, I'll be glad to tell you where we're at. Revelation 3:20. Here's where we're at. It was the Laodicean church. It's the last church age. Because thou sayest, thou art rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You want to know where we're at as a nation? We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But God said, you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. That's where we're at. Where's God at? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him. I'll sup with him, and he with me. We're rich and increased with goods. God's trying to get in the door of our lives. Where are we at? That's where we're at. But Pastor, what happens next? I'm trying to quit. What happens next? Revelation 4:1. And I looked, and behold, a door was opened into heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, it were as a trumpet talking with me. And it said, come up hither. What am I seeing, Pastor? You're seeing the coming of Jesus Christ and his church being caught up. You're seeing 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You said, Pastor, why do you think this is so serious? I'll tell you why I think it's so serious. Get this. Why do you have such a passion? Why do you, when you preach, you want people to not be moving around? Why do you want babies not to be crying? Why, Pastor? Because this is serious. This is serious. Noah built that ark. But you understand something. There's one thing that Noah did not do. In Genesis chapter 7, he built that ark. But he didn't shut the door to that ark. God shut the door to that ark. He built that ark, but he didn't shut the door. When they got inside that ark, it was God who shut the door. Why is that important? Because Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 says, when God shutteth, no man can openeth. You say, well, Pastor, I've got all the time. No, you don't. We're in Noah's day. In Genesis 6:3 said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Today could be your last day. Today could be your last opportunity. Because he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Not long ago, my mother and I were in Applebee's in McMinnville, Tennessee. And a man walked up and he said, Brother Benny, do you know who I am? And I said, no, I don't. He said, I'm Shirley Jones. I said, oh, Shirley, when I was a kid, I was your pastor. He said, I'll never forget you. I said, well, I don't want to forget you either. He said, you preached one Sunday night about Noah, and my son gave his life to the Lord. I said, that's wonderful. He said, we got home and I said, Monty, why did you give your life to the Lord tonight? And Monty said, oh, Daddy, I didn't want to miss that boat. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you folks, but I don't want to miss the boat. I don't want to miss the boat because eternity's too long to be wrong. I've given you 4 or 5 signs. I'll give you 20 or 30 by the time this series is over. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.